Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Türk Telekom Q2 2015 results. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you today's call is being recorded Thursday, the 23rd of July, 2015. I'd now like to hand over to your speaker today, Onur Öz. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you, everyone, for being with us today. This is Onur Öz, Head of Investor Relations in Türk Telekom. We will be discussing the second quarter results with you today, but before we start the discussion, I'd like to kindly remind you to please take a look at the second page of our presentation where we have a notice about the information we're going to release. Today's speakers are Rami Aslan, CEO of Türk Telekom Group, and Murat Kırkgöz, CFO of Türk Telekom Group. Without further ado, I will pass the call on to Rami.
Good afternoon and good morning to some of you. This is Rami Aslan. Thank you for joining us today. We are very glad to share with you our second quarter results. We had another strong quarter in our operations, and let me run you through the quarter's highlights, after which we can go into more details in the following slides. In the mobile business, we had almost 100,000 net additions, which was predominantly driven by postpaid subscribers. This quarter, we reached 50% postpaid subscriber ratio in our mobile business, which solidifies our increased focus on high-value customers. Another metric that supports our revenue growth is our smartphone penetration. It reached this quarter 62%. As you know, we have been leading this market for a long time in those two metrics, and we are proud that we continue our leadership despite being the smallest operator in the market. In broadband, we had about 70,000 net adds, most of which came from our fiber-based products. Our upselling initiatives continue to help us grow our ARPU in broadband, which is a 2.5% year-on-year growth in the second quarter. Our adjusted consolidated revenues increased 6.2% and reached 3.46 billion TL. You'll remember the adjustment is related to taking out the non-operational accounting revenues in conjunction with upgrading our networks. Our consolidated EBITDA also grew by 5.4% and revealed an EBITDA margin of 37.4% in Q2. If you look at the components, you'll notice a 4 percentage point year-on-year improvement in the mobile EBITDA margin, reaching 18% this quarter, while a maintained strong fixed margin remains at 46%. On the next slide, slide 4, we have a summary table of the financials. The only part we haven't touched yet in this table is the net income and CapEx. On net income, continued depreciation in TL, tough at a much lower pace, though at a much lower pace, in Q2 had a negative impact in our net income, which we realized at 335 million TL, 50% decline, 58% decline year on year. While CapEx spending typically is not uniform among quarters, in Q2 our investments picked up pace and reached 467 million TL. Moving on to slide 5. The notable shift of our revenues into high-growth areas continued this quarter. As of Q2, 72% of our total revenues came from higher-growth businesses such as mobile, broadband, and corporate data. Also notable is the fact that revenues from mixed voice business are now less than one-fifth of our business. We are glad that we are managing fixed voice decline in a way that it does not hamper our top-line growth, as it did with many other fixed line incumbents, and at the same time, it did not have any major impact on our consolidated EBITDA margins. Slide 6. Strong ARPU and subscriber dynamics continue in our broadband business in Q2. A 70,000 net subscriber additions, together with a 2.5% increase in ARPU, supported our revenue growth of 6% in the business. We are glad to be able to focus on upselling and premium positioning, which brings growth in both subscribers and ARPU in broadband. Slide 7. upselling dynamics were also strong in the second quarter of the year. Our push towards higher speed and higher capacity packages will continue. As of the second quarter, almost 60% of our customers are in up to 16 megabits per second or higher speed packages, while 89% of TTNet customers choose unlimited capacity packages. With unlimited, increasing number of our customers prefer higher fare usage packages, above 50 gigabits. The fare usage package subscribers are now 28% of our base. Moving to slide 8, our fiber network, which is by far the largest in the country, continued to expand in the second quarter of the year. Our fiber to the cabinet home pass reached 8.2 million, while fiber to the home and building home pass reached 3.1 million. We have also increased fiber customer numbers and reached 1.25 million subscribers in FTTH, FTTB, and FTTC customers. However, having the largest fiber footprint in the country is significant for us in the context of next generation mobile technologies as well. In order to run the most efficient and robust mobile network with the next generation technologies such as 4G, LTE Advanced, and 5G later, supporting mobile backhaul with fiber is crucial. We believe that this will set us apart from the competition in addition to the superior experience we aim to provide our mobile customers. Slide 9. On July 1st, we have launched our satellite platform, which together with our current IPTV platform will offer a distinct TV experience to customers all over Turkey. Arguably, the most exciting football organizations of the year, UEFA Champions League and Europa League, are starting in August, and we are very happy to be able to provide this content with our customers exclusively. In addition to exclusive premium sports content, TVBU provides customers with multi-screen viewing experience, over 200 TV channels, and a huge content archive with premium movies, shows, kids content, and documentaries. Our initiatives in TV make good sense in the context of our business portfolio, as Turkey's integrated telecom services provider, having a stronger TV business supports our overall convergence strategy. Moving on to slide 10, our corporate data business share in fixed line business continued to grow and reach 15% in Q2. Our unique position in corporate data stems from our ability to deliver integrated telecom solutions in both fixed line and mobile segments. In addition to tailored solutions for different sized businesses in Turkey, our business in corporate segment is further strengthened by innovative initiatives such as smart city and e-health services. Corporate business revenues grew 23% year-on-year in Q2, which was higher than its typical mid-teen growth rate due to additional projects taken on the quarter, especially around our WiMAX product. Moving to slide 11, fixed voice revenue decline in Q2 was 10%. While decline in fixed voice business continue as expected, we are able to offset the loss mainly with growth in broadband and corporate data businesses. The decline rate in the past 5 quarters improved compared to the prior periods from around 12% to 10% levels. Our efforts to smooth out the transition from voice to data in the fixed line domain will continue as well. On to slide 12 for the mobile business. Our mobile business continues its robust revenue growth this quarter with 15% year-on-year. Moreover, EBITDA grew 45%, and we reached an EBITDA margin of 18% in Q2, which is a 4 percentage point improvement over the last year's number. Looking into mobile subscriber trends in slide 13, number of subscribers in our mobile network reached 16.7 million, with a net addition of almost 100,000 in the second quarter. Our net additions reached almost 1 million since Q2 of last year. Subscriber additions in Q2 was driven by postpaid net adds. We had 200,000 postpaid additions into our network in Q2, which carried our postpaid subscriber ratio to 50%, by far the largest in Turkey. In fact, This sets the stage for us to be the first and only postpaid majority mobile operator in the country. Our blended ARPU increased 6% year-on-year, which also contributed to our top-line growth in mobile. On slide 14, we have more color on net subscriber adds and churn dynamics. In the first half of the year, we had 410,000 net adds, while our average quarterly churn improved to 8% levels from 12% a few years ago. On mobile number portability, we continue to grab a good portion of subscribers who are leaving the incumbent operator. Considerable investments we made in our mobile business continue to bear fruits as we enjoy more customers in our network whose satisfaction levels continue to significantly improve. Moving on to my last slide, slide 15 on mobile data. Mobile data continued to be the engine of growth in our mobile business. It grew 48% year-on-year in Q2. Mobile data, excluding SMS and value-added services, constitutes almost one-third of our mobile service revenues as of the second quarter of the year. Two main factors support our growth in mobile data. First, our best-in-class data offers, and secondly, our leadership in smartphone penetration. As of the second quarter, our smartphone penetration again reached 62%. I will now hand you to CFO Murat to review the financials.
Thank you, Rami. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. In the second quarter, we reported above 3.5 billion revenues, delivering 7% growth versus prior year. EBITDA in the same quarter increased by 5% to 1.20 billion Turkish lira, and our EBITDA margin remained solid at 37.4%. Our operating profit resulted at 788 million, and net income is 335 million Turkish lira, with a 22% EBIT margin and 10% net income margin. I'll move to page 17. On the balance sheet, at the asset side, we are maintaining around 2 billion Turkish lira of strong cash position post 1.8 billion dividend payments in second quarter. Company current ratio stands at a healthy 1.4 at end of Q. This quarter, we reflected the fair value of the anticipated Avia share purchase at Dish Bank at the put option liability. Once the regulatory permits are done, the liabilities will be classified to proper long-term liability lines in the balance sheet, which you can find the details in the note 13. I will give more color on the leverage and net debt in a while. Now moving to cash flows. We had generated about 1.2 billion strong cash flow from operations in the second quarter, yielding to a rolling last 12 months 2.5 billion Turkish lira of unlevered free cash flow from our operations. Our cash and cash equivalents at hand are close to 2%, and liquidity metrics are very healthy as of end of Q2. I'm on page 19. Here we are presenting the details of our debt profile. From last year, second quarter, to this year, second quarter, our gross debt in hard currency had reduced by about $400 million, from 4.3 billion to 3.9 billion, but this, due to the devaluation of Turkish throughout the period, the gross debt in Turkish lira reads as 10.4 billion Turkish lira. In the second quarter, we had focused on risk management initiatives and rebalanced the currency mix of our debt through cross-currency swaps. We had completed, as of the reporting date of these financials, conversion of the 4 years $500 million bond to Turkish lira cross-currencies and the 10 years $500 million portion to euros, resulting in a more balanced currency exposure, which you can see on the right graph, before and after the cross-currencies, how the debt is composed. Post the dividend payments, our leverage stands at a comfortable level of 1.6 at the end of second quarter. And prior to the dividend payments, the figure should read around 1.26. Now I'm passing to Rami for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Murat. We are open to answer your questions. We are available, and we can start with the first question.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. You can cancel this request by pressing the hash key. Once again, that's star one to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Corey Pamir of Deutsche Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Two questions. Could you please elaborate on your convergence efforts in the second quarter and for the rest of the year, in the sense that in terms of the number of shops and the, in terms of the number of bundled offerings that you have in the market? Secondly, in terms of smartphone penetration, do you have a particular target in mind for the end of 2015 and if possibly for 2016 as well? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Clearly, we continue to converge, and we are very pleased that our integration efforts has come to this point in a very smooth and efficient way. We've started to capture a lot of the integration benefits, be it on the top line growth. We're starting to see the impact as well as, if you compare to last year, as well as the momentum is helping us, and also in terms of cost efficiencies as well. So we are very pleased with that. In terms of the number of shops, so far we have completed over 300 shops as of the end of last month, and we should reach in excess of 800 by year end. So we are moving at very good speed right now, and we are really converting our shops to state of the art, and it allows us, of course, to offer converse services and be very efficient in our efforts in smart bundling. And I call it smart bundling because we are very focused on the best use of bundles, more on the ability to cross-sell and upsell and ensure that we can provide our portfolio to our customers and cross-sell to our customers across the entire group in the most efficient way, and to drive the top line growth. On the smartphone penetration, I mean, we are very pleased with the 62%. We believe that it's extremely very good achievement to date, and we will continue our effort to continue to lead the market by a very large gap, and we are able to cooperate with many partners, such as Samsung, for example, where we are co-bundling the devices. And we have launched recently our InTouch series, and in cooperation with different providers as well. So we are on the right track to continue to capture higher penetration and to continue to lead by a large gap with the market and the competition.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ranjan Sharma of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Ranjan Sharma from JP Morgan. Thank you for the presentation. Two questions from my side. Firstly, on the pending 4G spectrum auctions, if you can share if there are any updates on that front. And secondly, on your TV offerings, if you can share what your strategy is with respect to your pay TV, is this going to be a loss leader to drive adoption of converged services, or how are you going to price this? Thank you.
Thank you, Ranjan. I'll start with the first question on the 4G spectrum. As you know, 4G was anticipated for Q2 of the year, and it was later delayed by about 3 months. So now it is scheduled for the 26th of August. We believe that this target is on track and intact, and we are waiting for the imminent announcements on that by the our regulator and the concerned parties, and we are ready and preparing for that date. And that will definitely allow us to continue to work towards our full integration and ability to use our integration in the most efficient way. So we look forward to that spectrum allocation and process. In terms of the TV and TV offerings, we will transform our TV business from a retention tool into a revenue generator. So it will also have a significant impact on our cross-sell activities and ability. TV is a very important part of our convergence strategy. As you know, content is very important in our business, and TV is a very key player here. The recent acquisition that we started, or we won for the UEFA Championship League and Europa League, which was announced late last year, but it will be effective in August of this year, so next month. The broadcasting rights will be enabling us to attract significantly pay TV subscribers and push our ARPU upwards as well. And in addition to IPTV, we built a satellite platform. As you know, we have announced that we are building that in the beginning of the year, and we are very happy to say that we are ready, and we will be providing our customers with the most extensive TV offering in the entire market. So that's on the TV round. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Kathleen Middlemiss of UBS London. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just can you give some guidance on your full year CapEx? Has it changed at all?
I will not answer only for CapEx, but in general, our guidance looks healthy, and we stand by our guidance. Of course, as you know, we have given guidance excluding the bid for the spectrum, and that remains intact. We are really capturing a lot of the efficiencies caused by our integration, despite the fact that we have a devaluation of the currency. We are able to be much more efficient, and that is giving us the sufficient headway to maintain, our CapEx along the lines of our guidance levels. In Q3, probably we'll be in a better position to firm up everything, but we stand by our guidance, both on the other metrics, including the CapEx.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Vipul Kumar of Citi Mumbai. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I have just one question on the guidance, and that's on EBITDA. Looking at the 1H performance, the EBITDA stands at 2.65 billion, and converting that as a full year number, it would be around 5.3, and your EBITDA guidance is around 5.1 to 5.2. So do you still expect some kind of risks in terms of profitability, especially the competitive pressure in mobile from Vodafone or other operator? Thank you.
Just 1 second, because I didn't capture the first part of your question. Just 1 second, please. Oh, thank you. Sorry, I missed the first part of the question, so my colleagues are repeating it. We are very pleased with the first half, first of all, despite the fact that we are going through a total reorg and integration, we managed to have a smooth transition, and we're very pleased with that. And I believe that this, will help us tremendously for not only the next 6 months, but definitely the years to come. The guidance, I'd rather be cautiously optimistic rather than tell you, well, we're going to revise something upwards right now. But we do stand by it, as I mentioned in the previous question, and we do believe that we will have a very healthy year. And if we see, it's a little bit premature to give you indications, but if we see that we need to make an adjustment, we will do that in Q3. But as things stand, we are quite comfortable with where we are.
Okay, thank you so much for the answer.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of, I think, Ozkan of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I have two initial questions. The first one is on regulatory approval process related to your Avia minority buyout transaction. When should we expect this, i.e., do you really expect this to be approved before year-end? And in relation to that, I think it was in your full-year financials footnotes, you do disclose a significant a sizable deferred tax asset related to Avia's tax losses that I believe
Can you repeat the second question?
Of course. My second question is related to Avea's deferred tax assets, which is disclosed in your full year financials footnotes. I believe it's around 2.6 billion TL. Please confirm whether this is, as of today, usable, i.e. deductible for Türk Telekom's consolidated taxes, i.e. can you deduct that? I remember it's not possible. And if not, what are the conditions for you to be able to use these tax assets in order to milk potential tax benefits in the future? Thank you.
Thanks. First of all, with regards to the 10% Isbank acquisition, or our acquisition of Isbank's 10% stake in Avea, happy to say that BTK has actually provided its approvals. So we're in the middle of the process of the approval process, but BTK had a two-layer approval, which we have received, and they have confirmed the same to the competition authority. So we're now in the process of waiting the competition authority. We don't anticipate any surprises, to be honest, but you know, this, they're going through the course of the approval process, and we believe that it is a few weeks away at most. So this should be imminent in the very near future. With regards to, what was the second question? The deferred tax assets. The deferred tax assets, they're not available immediately. Maybe Murat, you want to say something?
Sure. In Turkey, each corporate is tax basis based on that corporate's profits and losses. So we had recognized about 255 million Turkish lira of deferred tax assets of Avea in our balance sheet. And unless the entities are a single entity, the losses cannot be used on a consolidated level.
The second part.
So there is no immediate use of such assets or creating a tax shield due to the Avea losses.
Would there be any tax benefits, usable tax benefits, if Avea was a division of Türk Telekom, i.e. if two entities would merge, theoretically?
Theoretically, yes.
Of course, that would be the case. On top of that, you know, Avea itself, if it turns into a profitable business, then you can also use that immediately. And we do believe that the new spectrum will be a game changer for us. So we are very optimistic that these will be of great value to the group.
Okay, thank you very much for the detailed color. Much appreciated.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Ivan Kim of VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. Firstly, I know this question pops up from time to time, but are you getting to the level of the market share in the mobile business where you'd be content with that and would focus more maybe on, I don't know, profitability and efficiency or something else? And then my second question is on your PSTN retention campaigns. Can you please just elaborate a little on what those are, and do you think these retention campaigns, although they're called campaigns, would be pretty much indefinite now? Thank you.
I'll pass the second question to my colleagues, but on the first question, for the market share, we continue to focus on both, to be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, we are doing both. We're delivering both. We are gaining in margin. As you know, our margin 18 months ago was around 11%. Now we're up to 18-19%, so we're very pleased with that. But we're not satisfied sufficiently, so we expect to continue to improve in that domain. At the same time, we would like to continue to capture scale, and we are focusing on that as well. So we're trying to keep a balance, as you see. I mean, we have demonstrated in the last few quarters that we're growing in both, and we do believe that we have reached a good scale, but at the same time, we do believe that there's an opportunity to continue to grow on the market shares as well.
Yeah, just if I may follow up on that. So the margins, I guess, improved mostly exactly because you grew in scale, right? So I'm just trying to understand when this kind of scale will be sufficient for you to maybe cut back on marketing and things like that. Because marketing, for example, I say it's not the only line, but the marketing, let's say, I think is probably higher than it could have been given the size of your business.
What was the last statement? Sorry, margin? Is it margin you're referring to?
Marketing expenses. So basically, marketing expenses, I guess, are just higher than they could have been given the size of your business. I'm just trying to understand when the scale would be sufficient for you to think less about the revenue share, let's say.
Look, we will head there, but we're not there yet. So, you know, we'll continue to ramp up there, but we do believe that still there is a scale improvement potential, and this is more long-term for us. So we're not thinking of a quarter or a half or a year. We're thinking in the long-term, and we do believe that we are at a good scale, and there's for a little bit more as well. So, you know, we want to capture that, and we want to use our advantage and our ability and our integration, cross-sell, et cetera, that will really help us, whether it's in the consumer or the corporate space.
Thank you. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. You can cancel this request by pressing the hash key. Your next question comes from the line of Andrey Kabashek of Wood & Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. I have two. Firstly, you say that your smartphone penetration, your subscriber base is the highest in the country. I would just like to ask what percentage of this or what part of this are smartphones that are 4G ready? And what is your strategy in terms of commercializing the 4G license acquisitions, because you say you're counting on that being quite a big impact. So whether you're thinking of pricing these tariffs more expensive, for example. And my second question is maybe a follow-up on Ivan's previous questions related to the EBITDA margin on mobile and commercial costs. But the conclusion that I took, just to understand if that's correct, the focus from now on is more likely to be on slow but steady expansion of the customer base, maybe in the extent which we saw this quarter, and more on the so therefore more on the EBITDA margin, if that's a correct understanding. Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, we haven't answered the second question of the previous question, so we'll do that at the end. Sorry, we forgot. We moved on to your question. So let me answer your questions first, and then we'll come back to the PSTN question on the retention campaigns. The 62% smartphone question, we don't have the exact number, but I can tell you that it is the bulk of our smartphone universe is actually 4G ready. So we're very pleased with that, because, you know, the latest campaigns and the latest 4G or the latest smartphones that we have been launching are all 4G ready, so that should be pretty consistent. Our own InTouch 4 is 4G ready as well, so that is one of the largest drivers of our growth as well. So we are happy and ready for the 4G launch. EBITDA margin, you know, I think maybe I did not satisfy your earlier question, and that maybe that's why you're asking me. I'll try to do a better job this time. You see, we want to grow the subscriber base, definitely. I wouldn't call it slow growth. Maybe Q2 was not as strong as previous quarters, but you know, we are expecting to continue to grow significantly and at a good pace. Also add to that the cross-sell capabilities that we're now implementing. So you know, Q2 had a few particularities as well, because, you know, part of the integration, we really have evolved the teams, the leadership, the the N-1 and N-2 levels as well. This is all now intact. So clearly, we are extremely well positioned for the second half in that scale. Postpaid upsell is a very important element as well, and we don't want to miss on that, and that is something that we'll continue to focus on and do. But this said, we are not driven only by this metric. So profitability is very important to us, and we have demonstrated that. We're not trying to tell you what we're going to do in the future only. I believe that we have done that quarter over quarter, that we're growing both, and we are very focused on profitability, and 18% is a great improvement from 11, but we are still focused to improve further as well.
Thank you. And could you maybe just answer on the follow-up question on the commercialization strategy for the 4G licenses or for the 4G coverage, if there's any plans of, for example, discriminating between 4G and 3G usage with your subscriber base? Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed. if you allow us, maybe this is something that we'd rather do and implement, and then you'll be hopefully seeing that in our strong results. But we are certainly ready and very excited about 4G, and we do believe that our infrastructure and our investments in the past will really position us really, really well and give us an edge over competition, and that will give a very strong start, hopefully. So we are very excited and optimistic about the 4G impact.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Walid Belaha of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. I just have three questions on my side. The first question is regarding the recent negotiation agreement with the labor unions and the increase in some salaries within the firms. So just wondering whether this was factored in your guidance for the EBITDA, and if you could give us maybe some color on the impact that that could have in the margins. The second question is regarding net leverage. Net leverage as of Q2 is at 1.6. So it's slightly above the targets that you have had for some time, the 1.5. So I was wondering whether you're still keeping this target in mind, and whether you have any measures that you plan to keep up with this target. And the third question is just wanted some clarification on the cross-currency swap that you mentioned earlier in the presentation. I understood that there was a cross-currency swap from USD into euros, and another one from euros into in the Turkish lira.
Thank you. So three questions. And we'll start with the labor unions. We're very actually pleased that we have confirmed our agreement with the labor union, and it is definitely what we have agreed with them over the next 2 years is in line with our plans and budget. So I can confirm that the personnel expense increase for the year will be below inflation due to a decrease in personnel base, and that also factors in the union agreement. On the leverage, maybe I'll get Murad's help, but I can tell you that, you know, first of all, leverage peaks at this quarter. So, you know, because we pay the dividend along with a very strong capex this year as well, this quarter. So leverage is peaking, but you should see, as always, by year end, there will be an improvement, save for, of course, the spectrum for this year. But in general, the peak is at this time of the year, and we deleverage very quickly. As you know, we have very strong operational cash flow, and that continues to be the case. On the cross-currency swap, if the CFO allows me, I'll just keep going. Yes, indeed, we have you know, swapped our exposure to dollar, from dollar to euros. And later on, the same exposure, we have swapped it to Turkish lira. This allows us to reduce the FX impact on our profitability when there's a devaluation. But more importantly, the cost of funding in Turkish lira is actually for a five-year tenor, or maybe four and a half now remaining, is or 4 years now remaining. Is that correct, Murat? So 4 years is remaining is well below 5%. So you know, we are very happy to raise four-year money at below 4%, and that is really helping our debt profile and currency mix and the currency breakdown as well. So before this swap, we had 77% USD exposure, 20% euro. Now it's down from 77 to 52%, and euro is from 20 to 36%. The Turkish lira is down from insignificant levels to 12% now. So we'll continue to look at opportunities where we can do that and lock ourselves into a good funding mechanisms that are allowing us to continue to enjoy the strong cash flows, at the same time manage the exposure and the FX exposure to the extent possible.
Understood. So just a follow-up question on net leverage. Given that the currency is continues to depreciate and could depreciate even further, so that was really my question, and I think some of your CapEx is skewed, spending is skewed toward the second half. So if we count also for the 4G auction, when do you think you would come back to 1.5? And is this still a target that you keep for the company?
It's a tough question that I cannot answer, unfortunately, in terms of when, but I can tell you that it's something that we follow very closely as management, as CEO and CFO as well, and as board, and we are extremely disciplined. We have, I believe, demonstrated this all along, and we continue to be very mindful of the robustness of our balance sheet and ability to manage any exposures, balance sheet exposures as well. So I cannot give you guidance as to when, but I can tell you that we really enjoy a very strong cash flow and a very strong ability to deleverage, and that will allow us to improve our leverage to below that level quite quickly. I don't think we are able or allowed to give an indication as to when we fall below that, but I can really, really assure you that it's something close to heart. I myself follow this very carefully as well. It's part of our DNA and construct, and we will make sure that we continue that in the way forward.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a follow-up question from the line of Ranjan Sharma of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up question from. Is there a scenario in which Avea could be merged with the parent company, and if you see any regulatory hurdles around it? Thank you.
Thank you, Ranjan. Is there a scenario? Of course, the scenario is there. I mean, but this is a process, and we will look at it in due course. Now, let us complete the Isbank acquisition first. That will be step in the right direction, and then post that we will be doing our homework further. But definitely, we'll have to go through the course if we choose to do so. But we'll make sure that whatever we do, it will be what will be in the best interest of this group integration and ability to capture all the benefits, including the deferred tax assets as well. We did not answer the PSTN retention campaign. It was not by design, so let's answer that question before the next question comes. Apologies for the delay. Maybe Mehmet Ali can answer you, he's the CEO of Corporate.
Hi, good afternoon. I mean, as you well know, fixed voice revenue decline is inevitable in the market. However, we believe that we managed to decrease revenue decline rates from 12% to 10% levels, and we believe that this is a rare case for the incumbents. We believe that we have managed the soft landing, and we will carry on having a similar percentages in the quarters to come. Having said that, we have launched several campaigns in the past, and we will be doing them and continuing some of them, like home insurance campaigns, or adding value to having a PSTN line at home. This is quite important for us. Having said that, our focus now is more on the transition of our revenues to more high growth areas. As of Q2, the share of fixed voice is only at 19% of our total revenues. So we're maintaining a close look on that. The campaigns that we launch will have similar deals that we enjoyed in the past. And the name of the game here is to add value to having a PSTN at home. So you will be seeing more cross-sell campaigns where if you do hold the PSTN line, you will enjoy discounts from other products and services, or vice versa. And we believe that we will maintain a similar level of decrease on our revenues. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. You can cancel this request by pressing the hash key. You have a follow-up question from the line of Atinc Özkan of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have a follow-up regarding your slide 9, where you show the structure of the Turkish pay TV market. Following the recent sale of Digiturk, I think, to a Gulf investor, can I take your views on how you view the pay TV market progressing, given that you are also attempting to consolidate the fragmented market? And my second question regarding this, I remember you had competed against Digiturk for the football broadcasting rights tender in Turkey, the killer content. Should we expect you to do the same when the existing contract terms expire, I think in 2017? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Good question as well, and very relevant. We believe that this announcement for Digiturk is now going through the motion, so you know it will probably take a few weeks or a few months to complete. But we do believe that this is imminent, and that should be welcomed by the market. We are very focused on our platform, extremely focused on our platform, and making sure that we will be very quickly the second player in this market. And we are on track, and we're very confident that our setup and infrastructure will allow us to get there. In terms of the Turkish League, as you know, the Turkish League broadcasting for Digiturk will end in 2017. And as you also know, while it is an exclusivity for us in terms of our rights for the UEFA League and Europa League, it is no longer exclusive for the Turkish League starting from next year. So we will be able to actually find ways to provide the Turkish League, whether we bid or not, and that is something that will be available to all players. So, you know, from now to 2017, we will see how the dynamics evolve. But as you know, we are a very disciplined company, and we are making sure that we will provide the right content for our customers and ensure that this will continue to build value for us, and we'll do whatever it takes to do that. At the same time, the fact that it is no longer an exclusive setup will probably change the dynamics of the next round of bidding rather than the last round of bidding.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And there appear to be no further questions from the phone lines. Please continue.
So I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. If there's no further questions, we will end the call here. But if you have any follow-up questions, please get in touch with the IR team, and we will get back to you with meetings that we can have. Thank you so much, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes our conference for the day. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.